been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation worldwide. You are listening to The Call. It is time for the Red Eye Review. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me, as always, he asked for his birthday, a Ravens win, and he got it. What's going on, man? What's up, Josh?
Yes, sir, and we finally did it, and in dramatic fashion we did, man. How was that, man?
He
tried to give away that game.
it was unlike any other Steeler-Ravens game I have seen in the past. I'll say that.
Yeah, and well, I would say this. It was like every Ravens-Steelers game where we won by 3 points. They just said, if you look at the last few meetings, I mean, the Ravens, I think, have the best rivalry where they're settled by less than 4 points. They're always separated by less than a touchdown. We've had a rare blowout. It's like 2011 at home, we blew them out. They blew us out one time, like 7-0. We've had some rare blowouts, and especially when they beat us in the playoffs one time by double digits. But for the most part, all of our contests are pretty much, other than the playoff game last year where we beat them 30-14, we've been handling them pretty well. And each team's contested, but what a game, man. I mean, it was this total night and day. I mean, there were some few blunders and a few hiccups, but two things I got to commend. How about the running game waking up? How about the defense stepping up? Wow.
Finally, we've seen this defense and we've seen the running game do something. Justin Forsett looked really great out there. Looked like he hasn't missed a step since last year. Maybe this new system that he has, you know, he did so well under Gary Kubiak, now under Mark Trestman. Maybe he's finally clicking with this new offensive coordinator.
I mean, maybe. I'm not – the jury's still out on that. I mean, it's one game. Let's see what happens. But with the way it stands and the way the state of the team is, I'm going to have to say if they can keep this going, who's to say they can't win four of the next five or three out of five? I don't know. But things are looking good because, again, I always hate to do big picture, and they put us in no choice because we're 1-3. But – we're, what, one or two games out of the wild card because the AFC is atrocious, man. You see all their records? They're 2-2 or worse. There's 12 teams that are at that mark. But 2-2 or worse. Either 0-4 or 1-3 like us or 2-2. So who's to say in four games in, I mean, yeah, some of the best records are out there undefeated. Bengals are undefeated and so are Patriots. But who's to say the Ravens can't catch fire? They got the Browns coming up. They got the horrible-looking San Francisco 49ers coming up.
Yeah.
they got the Arizona Cardinals, probably lost. So if they win two out of the next three, they're sitting at a 3-5 mark. It could be done. Or 3-4 mark, I should say. But it's just they got to get their wits about them. But it all started on Thursday night, and it was a great, great Ravens-Steelers slugfest, man. Apart from Big Ben not being in there, they pretty much shut down Bell. Most of the game, and then obviously he broke the longest streak in the NFL. He actually had 100 yards rushing. We kept Antonio Brown at bay, which was great.
Mm-hmm.
Defense stepped up, and I'm going to tell you right now, X Factor is Will Davis. What a signing.
Very, very good signing. We also saw Babin for the first time, which was interesting. It seems as if maybe this defense is finally picking up after Terrell Suggs. But here's my question to you. Can you really judge the running game? Can you judge the defense against what we saw with the Steelers? Because the Steelers, we know their defense is terrible. And then you also have the backup quarterback, Mike Vick, who is not a thrower. You know, he is going to run, and he is going to give it to Bell, and he's going to run down the field. And the defense has always been pretty good against the running game. It's always the secondary that you got to worry about. So can we really judge as Ravens fans? Can we judge this defense running game against a team like the Steelers? And can we have hope?
We can. I mean, you can. I mean, just because they allowed a 100-yard rusher, it was the best back in the league, Le'Veon Bell, right now. One of the best backs in the league. So, not like they let it they let him break 100 on some second or third string scrub. It was more or less it was Le'Veon Bell. He came back. I'm happy with that. You know, they can't sustain that forever, and they've had their spurts where they'll go two or three seasons without allowing 100 rusher, and then they allow one.
Right.
It happens. I mean, I was just happy the pass defense. I was just shocked. I was like, are we still in this game? And it was just thanks to Mr. Scooby Dooby do miss because, wow, that we should have lost that game. And we should have lost game due to a coaching blunder. What's with this fake field goal against the Steelers? Like, I couldn't even get over that. I was like, win or lose, even if we win, I was sitting there with a salty face like, lucky we even won the game. I mean, thanks to Scooby, but there's a lot of factors here where any team could have won and lost it, but they had play calls, man. They went for it on fourth down and two. What a stop. I call it the Vic bootleg, by the way, man. We were sitting there, and we were standing there, and I'm like, this is going to – and when they were calling a timeout, I looked at my friend, and I was like, this is going to be a Vic vintage bootleg. They're going to come out, and he's going to run it. He come out shotgun, and I said, watch, he's going to run it. And soon enough, he took off, and what a stop. Defense stepped up, and I don't know about you, man, but speaking of stepping up, I thought we were done for when Flacco was sacked on fourth down. I thought it was over.
There were many times where I thought this game was over. How about
it was like the Vikings game all over again.
I know. Yeah, it was up and down. I know a lot of people I work with the next day were like, did you stay up for that? I fell asleep or I
what?
Went to bed.
Fell asleep, man. You get your fan card taken away for like suspended. We're going to suspend this fan card till the bye week.
Yeah,
no Ravens game still bye week.
Yeah, so I was like, what do you mean you fell asleep? No. What do you mean you did this? Come on, it's the Ravens Steelers.
He missed the whole thing. Justin Tucker's kick and everything. He had to watch the highlights. He was mad. I was like, you fell asleep? I was like, I need to drag you out to the place I watch games with. You won't fall asleep.
It's like Ross reading Rachel's letter at the beach.
That's what I said. Yeah. He fell asleep 18 pages front. And back.
Yeah, Flacco worried me definitely a little bit in this game, you know, getting back to the game here. How about his fumble, you know, off his knee into a defenseman's hands? That Joe can't run like that with the ball, you know, not securing it that way. I feel as if Joe should have known better on that one.
He's running like he stole the last loaf of bread at the store before the major hurricane.
Right.
Never happened. Yeah, exactly. You don't do that. But I do have a point to make about the fumble. I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah.
Wait, what are your thoughts on Falk? Do you think he had control?
To me, it looked as if, it was really hard to tell. Honestly, I can see it going either way. I personally don't think he had control, but I can definitely see where some of the refs would look back and say, yes, he did. I mean, it was such a fine line to look at. I didn't want it to be true, but I'm like, all right, I get it. That makes sense. I hear you.
Well, my point is here because, and this is going off of why some of the experts around the league were saying that the NFL needs to get it right because remember the week prior, I don't know if you remember this play, remember Tyler Eifert fumbled the football
mm-hmm.
and he made a football move two steps and then they called that an incomplete pass?
Mm-hmm. Right.
To me, that was a fumble because you're telling me a receiver catches the ball, secures it, makes a football move for two steps, which is maybe 4 to 6 yards in strides. You're telling me that's an incomplete pass, but a guy who catches the football off of Joe Flacco's knee right on the sideline tiptoe and he has that much time, like maybe half a second to secure it, you're telling me that's a secure catch? I don't think so. So I think that they get it backwards here. I don't think it was enough evidence, but hey, if he made the team to it and he had the sticky rice, hey, but we stopped him. I mean, it ended up being a field goal. But it did cost us that field goal at the end of the first half. So, I mean, there's a lot of blunder plays where it's like, what are you doing? But Steelers had the same thing, too. I mean, two missed field goals, missed cues, couldn't convert on fourth down. I mean, it was kind of crazy. You got Le'Veon Bell running over 100 yards, fourth down at two. It's like the Ravens play call. It's like with the quarterback sneak. I called the Flacco quarterback sneak before the game started. I could have called that, and I knew he wasn't going to get it. We're notorious for not getting quarterbacks. I'm like,
And you would think
like Tom Brady can get it, but he can't. It's weird.
You would think Joe would be really good at that, given Joe's size and how tall he is, that he'd be able to stretch a little bit. But you know, it's crazy how much Joe doesn't do a good job with these sneaks.
Well, I mean, but you can't like with protecting the football, you can't put the ball over a pile of players and expect to try to get the first down, like break the plane to the goal line, because if it gets swatted and claimed he didn't stop momentum, it could be a costly fumbles, you really got to be careful. And when he does eat quarterbacks, he doesn't get the push. Because, I mean, at that point, you got to protect against injuries. You have to protect the football and just be smart with it. And I think a good running play would have been good there, or even a play action. But at the end of the day, the team had their blunders. We got our first win in Pittsburgh. Same place as we got our last win last year. It was great to see the facial expressions at their expense. And I love Justin Tucker's notion that he saw the Steelers fans leaving as he lined up to kick it. So that was just even icing on the cake to me, man.
Well, you know what's really funny is that, do you remember this? A couple weeks ago, before the season started, we were at Chipotle. We were recording in Chipotle's parking lot in White Marsh. And you and I were talking, and we were talking about, because this is like a contract year for Justin Tucker. And I brought up the fact, with Mark Trestman's new offense, Justin Tucker may not be as important to this team as he once was, because Mark Trestman may be able to get into the end zone a lot more than Gary Kubiak did. So I said it'll be interesting to see what'll happen with Justin Tucker in this contract year and with the Ravens, because pretty much what is happening is the exact opposite of what I said could happen, because with QB or with Trestman's new system, more emphasis is put on Tucker than ever, because the offense really can't do anything. There's no wide receivers to throw to. The running game is just showing up. Justin Tucker, I feel, is more important than ever.
Oh, yeah. He could very easily be the most valuable Raven right now. And who knows, because the way we've been playing and keeping games close, who knows, we might need his leg to save us for a couple more wins this year, if not more than that.
Yeah, 100% we're going to need him to save us a lot more. And I loved Joe Flacco. I think it was a locker room talk a day or two after, when Harbaugh was like, what should we do here? And Flacco was just like, let him kick the ball. You know, he has 100% faith. I think he has more faith in Justin Tucker than he does in his own wide receivers at this point, because he knows when Justin Tucker kicks. I mean, yeah, he had one missed field goal recently, but, 90% of the time, you can count on Tucker.
Of course. I mean, you can always count on JT to make it through. And, it just was an overall team win. And speaking of the locker room, did you get a chance to listen to Harbaugh's speech?
I did not hear it yet, no.
It pumps you up, man. Listen to it. And everybody says that, like we were talking last week, you posed the notion, like, are the players tired of Harbs? Is it that time? Is it the same old song and dance? The guy's a natural born leader, whether anybody likes it or not.
Yeah.
But he had to say after that win was priceless, and it was one of the most best coaching. It was just the best ever. He just basically, in a nutshell, said, he wrote down, like, you remember how, I don't know if you saw the YouTube video, and it's one of my favorite ones he did, where they won the AFC North title against the Giants this Super Bowl year.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he came to get the guys together, and he said, one in purpose, one in spirit, do nothing out of selfish ambition, be a servant, be a leader. And that always stuck with me. And he actually said another great speech. And he goes, we're going through hell. We were just going through just a few hours out there on the field, when it was dark. It was dark and bleak. It looked like fourth down. Joe Flacco gets sacked. We lost the game. Next thing you know, we win the game. with that being said, John Harbaugh basically said in a nutshell, have no division amongst you. Speak the same language. Have the same mindset. And let there be no division amongst us, because, with losing, and there could be division, and people point fingers and blaming the receivers and blaming the offense and blaming the line and blaming this, and Trestman sucks as coordinator, Dean Pease needs to leave. There's all blame to go around, but basically what Harbaugh says is don't hold steadfast to that and hold to the common goal, and they're not dead. If they take it one game at a time and dig, this team will be all right. I mean, there's no panic button right now. Now, if they lose two out of the next three, the season's shot. But I just had to touch on that for a minute. Harbaugh's speech was top-notch, and I'm going to replay it for basically the remainder of the year. I did post it on the Facebook site, by the way. It's up there.
Facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Go check it out if you want to. Let's talk about some of the stuff, though, that has me worried. We'll preview in the Purple Friday preview later on in the week, but let's talk about some of the injuries that happened in this game. Steve Smith Sr., my gosh, what a loss this is. He's already ruled out for the next game, but before we start talking about the bad stuff, let's talk about one of the funniest things I've seen in years of football. Did you see the clip of Steve Smith holding on to that Steelers defenseman and not letting go after the play was over and staring like daggers into that guy? My God, Steve Smith has to be the scariest dude ever to be on the football field.
He's
the scariest
Raven post Ray Lewis.
Absolutely. Like him holding on.
I would not want to know.
No, and that Steeler, I forget who it was, but not being able to get Steve Smith off of him. Like, how do you play and how are you up against a guy like that after that? What mind games? What craziness from Steve Smith? I loved it. I thought that was hilarious.
Oh, I was fired up when he did that. And then I love the fact that even after he got hurt, he put the hit on the guy, and it was the wrong guy he put the hit on, but still, it was regardless funny. The guy's just a class act and a character. I love it. He's just fiery, and he doesn't take no crap for nobody, and it's really a huge loss because that hurt us, but there is a bright spot in all this. Joe Flacco led a game-winning drive without Steve Smith on the field.
So it can be done. That's a very good thing to know.
In Pittsburgh, once again, he did it. Once again, all those doubters. Oh, Joe Flacco sucks. Bring in Tyrod. Tyrod's doing great in Buffalo. Okay, well, I don't think Tyrod would have led a game-winning drive with his star receiver on the bench after getting hurt in Pittsburgh for the first win of the year. Ah, kudos to Flacco. But here's the thing, and we've had a good discussion about this week. I know they cheat, but regardless of Tom Brady, name Tom Brady's receivers and up in New England. They got Julian Edelman, Danny Amendola, and some other guy. I don't know who they are. No all-star pro receivers, no big names, but it's the play. And someone said that Joe Flacco is going to have to step up and show he's worth elite status with the receivers he has. If this team's going to win, they're going to have to do it with Kamar Aiken and with Max Williams and Nick Boyle. They're going to have to do it with these guys. And Flacco's got to get him the ball. And it all starts with the line. I mean, it's all team effort. The line's got to block for Joe. Joe's got to make the throws down the field and make smart decisions. But if Joe can get it done with these receiving corps, that's going to say a lot about his play and his leadership.
It really will. This is really, like you said, this is a test for Joe and to see what he can do, because Joe's been in bad situations before, but obviously, you know, him losing Anquan Boldin was a big hit to Joe because that was his guy to go to. Losing Pitta, you know, the guy's lost receivers before, but Steve Smith was the entire wide receiving core. You know, he was the guy to go to, and Joe's going to lose that in the next game. I feel as if you watch that game after Steve Smith is out, Joe Flacco is literally just like, who wants to catch the friggin' ball? Because I will try anybody. He threw it to every single receiver, every single tight end he had. He was throwing it to Marlon Brown, who dropped a few. Waller dropped a few. Kamar Aiken came up big on that last drive, you know, was able to catch a ball, which we saw last year that he can do. So Joe is definitely willing to try out different things and to see where we go from here, because he's going to have to. Steve Smith is out for the Browns game, so he's going to have to figure out what's going on. Again, we'll preview it in the Purple Friday preview, but the Ravens did get a new wide receiver in Chris Givens. We'll preview him next episode in the Purple Friday preview. But again, let me bring up the next injury, though. Michael Capinero, he had a great drive. It looked like he was about to lose yards and then was able to come up with a touchdown. What great play. What great grit. Looked like a Ravens player. But then he goes down with an injury. He's been injury plagued since becoming a Raven. You know, he missed a lot of time last year due to injury. So let me ask you, do you think that is why we didn't see a lot of him in the first 2 weeks? We only saw him doing a couple punt returns. Were the Ravens a little wary putting him on the offense due to his injury history? Because here we are again, Michael Capinero out with an injury.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough to see who's going to be in that spot, because if you look at the roster, who are you going to have returning kicks and kickoffs and punts? I mean, he was on the receiving corps, but I'm kind of scratching my head and seeing who's on the depth chart to even move up in that spot. It's really going to be tough.
It really is, and we'll see what happens to him. He is on injury reserve. They said normally with a herniated disc, you're back in 4 weeks, but to free up a roster spot, he loses his, and he's on injury reserve, so we'll see what happens there. But here we are, Ravens Steelers all the way, week one of the 2015 season now over. Josh, is there anything else we should cover before we wrap this show up?
We recovered it to the max.
All right, very cool. If you guys want to continue the conversation, you can always tweet to either of us. I am on Twitter at Brando Cash. And Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Brandon, they can always tweet to me at Italian GQ52.
All right, very cool. So, guys, go over to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new episode drops, you'll be the first to know. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. If you want to know more about Brando Cash Entertainment, you can also go to BrandoCash.com. We want to hear from you guys. Let us know what you guys think. What is going on in Ravens world to you? So be social with us as well as with the show. So let people know, you know, fly that Ravens flag high, fly it proud. Let people know you're a Ravens fan and you listen to the call. So let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit, anywhere you are social on the web, say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to the call and you should too. So we'll be back this Friday, Purple Friday, with a preview of the Browns game. But until then, Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you very much. And Ravens Nation, we got a win against our great rival. Another game-winning drive in Pittsburgh. Yeah, it was ugly. Yeah, it was brutal at times. Dark, it was bleak. But we got it done on a 52-yard field goal. I think fine. We got our win. Shut up them Steelers fans. And we got a division game number 3. We can get 2 out of 3 in these divisional games. It's gonna be all right. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high into Purple Friday.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
Hey there, Baltimore Raven fans. If you're like me, you love the Ravens, but you also are a huge supporter of the Washington Capitals. If you're a football fan or a hockey fan, check out my other podcast, What the Puck. It is available for free on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, and TuneIn Radio.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at baltimoresportsreport.com.